And welcome back to the Film Reel Cast, where we are going to do the Black Widow origin story. Stu.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah, it's Lucy 2014. It's another film in a row that we've done that you've never seen before that, again, we haven't spoken about. So
no.
Whatever your point of view will be, I'm going to hear them for the first time. So, yeah, it's going to be intrigued with what you think of this film. But first of all,
yeah.
I posted it on Facebook and I posted it on Twitter as well, that I have seen the film of the year for me, which is A Star Is Born. So that film was just out of this world. Honestly, I admit I was a bit teary-eyed when I watched it, but it's just so good. If you watch that and you don't have tears in your eyes at the end of it, then you've seriously got emotional problems. Because it's just so, so good.
Pretty lucky that Graham's not here then, really, isn't it?
Oh, exactly. I mean, the soundtrack's amazing. Lady Gaga is just fantastic. And Bradley Cooper's, he took a year out to learn to play the guitar to do that film. But it's just such an emotional film, like either happy, sad, and you get so involved with the cast, the storyline, and it's just so, so good. I was totally blown away. I mean, I've seen it three times. It's just fantastic. So for me, I mean, Infinity War was great. Don't get me wrong, it was amazing. But this film, the way it sucks you in, your emotions, it's so good. It's just, I can't recommend this film enough. I'd go and see it again, honestly. It was that good. So yeah, A Star Is Born. The anticipation was 10 out of 10. The film was 10 out of 10. And afterwards, it was 10 out of 10. It's so good. So
really?
If you get a chance to see it, I definitely recommend A Star Is Born. It's so good.
I mean, the only film I saw...
There you go.
I have not seen that. I saw Venom the other day.
What did you think of that? I thought that was terrible.
I liked it. But then again, I went, I think, a good like week and a half after you went, and the reviews were already in. So I was not expecting like a masterpiece at that point. And because what I wasn't expecting it to be great, I actually enjoyed it. I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it didn't take itself too seriously. It's not going to win any awards. It's not the best film of the year, but I didn't regret watching it. So.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Hardy did what he had to do. And I think you could tell he was really trying. I just thought the story was a letdown. And after maybe 45 minutes, I felt like the film was rushed.
It wasn't enough, wasn't it? Yeah, it really wasn't that long. I mean, the best thing about Venom, I thought, was the relationship between Eddie Brock and Venom. That was like the crux of the film. I thought the only thing I didn't like about the film was obviously the doctor guy, the main villain.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a bit tropey that he ended up having the other symbiote which Venom had to fight.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, for God's sake, couldn't you think of anything else? So he was a really good villain in a way up until that point. I mean, I always say normally the best villains are like the ones that aren't as powerful as the hero. I mean, I find, like, the Joker, for example, Lex Luthor. In Daredevil, you've got Kingpin, like, so who is very hard, but you never really quite see him on the same level as Daredevil. Funny enough, he is, in a way, but he doesn't use his physicality really to try and win the day. It's other things he tries to use. And I thought, that's really good, and they kind of, like, ruined it, I felt, by doing that kind of, like, tropey move. It may well be in the comics that happened. But I just felt a tiny bit let down by that, which was the worst part of the film. I didn't dislike it.
Watch it again. Would you go to the cinema and see it again?
Probably not. But then again, I saw Charlie's Angels four times.
Oh God!
It's because I had a Drew Barrymore crush though. To be fair, like really badly, and obviously I couldn't date her. I couldn't stalk her. So the only thing I could do is watch Charlie's Angels.
It's quite a sexual film in a way, isn't it? So they wear tight clothes and it's very sexual. So
it is. But Stu, talking about angels, Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, yeah, as I say, getting back to it, Lucy, 2014, written and directed by Luc Besson, produced by, I imagine this is his missus, Virginie Besson, Scarlett Johansson, Morgan Freeman, and Choi Min Sik. This is the second film we've done, reviewed with him in it. Do you know what the other one was?
What was the other one?
I Saw the Devil.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, time to shine there, time to shine. Yeah, I did a bit of internet research in this because I've saw this film. I really wanted to see it when it first came out because it looked quite interesting with the superpowers they revealed in the trailer and everything. And apparently that Luc Besson came up with the idea because he's fascinated with the humans or the... It's the myth that humans only use 10% of their brain capacity. And I looked into this because I don't use... I probably, if that is true, I only use about 3%. And to where the myth came from about the how much we use... And apparently, this isn't me, obviously, because I'm not intelligent enough to know any of this. But in 1907, a book came out where a scientist, William James, argued that humans only use mental resources in their brain, but he didn't specify percentage.
Okay.
And apparently, they reckon the myth came around because there was articles and everything that my dogs are fighting. What a time for them to fight. But there's our brain's made up of 10%. Neurons make up 10% of our brain cells. And they reckon that's where the 10% myths came from, that we only use up of our brain, where in fact, even smiling and everything, we're using all of our brain to be able to do that. So it's a complete myth and a load of nonsense that we only use that much. But I learned something. I used about 11% of my brain trying to find that out. So,
wow. So
that itself.
Absolutely. And so really, you're only a couple more percentage for having your own FaceTime on my very own screen.
I could do. I need to press a button. So my dogs have been sleeping all day. Now Molly and Lucy decide... There you go. That today and now will be at a brilliant time to have a bundle in the front
room. It's because it's the 11%, G. The 11%.
I think they've got that 2%. Lucy goes around the park and eats her own crap. She's probably got that 2%. Molly pinches one out. I go down to pick it up and Lucy's eating it. So, that's an insight, everyone, into the world of my dogs. But... Yeah, so Lucy, the plot, obviously we're going to be spoiling the film, talking in depth about the film. When a boyfriend, Lucy, is tricked, played by Scarlett Johansson, into delivering a briefcase supposed to contain business papers, the once carefree student is abducted by thugs and intent on using her as a drug mule.
Mm-hmm.
She's surgically implanted with a package containing a powerful chemical called CPH4. After being assaulted by one of the goons, it leaks and she has superpowers, including telekinesis and telepathy. She goes on pursuit of her captors and she's helped by a neurologist, Morgan Freeman, who plays a character, Professor Samuel Norman, who she hopes will be able to share her ability with. And that is the plot. It's quite a straightforward storyline. Do you agree, James? Go.
It is quite a simple storyline. Yes.
And what did you think about the film? What did you know before you saw the film?
Not much. I've seen the trailer. I thought it was really... I really enjoyed the trailer. And it was one of those films that was on my like bucket list to watch. And then, I forgot about it until I think it like appeared on Netflix or Amazon Prime. Streaming devices. Apps are available, of course. But yeah. But yes. Yeah, and it was always on my bucket list to watch. For whatever reason, though, I think my other half of the show, she never really was into watching it too much. So it just kind of went by the wayside until, obviously, you mentioned it.
Was it the fact that the trailer looked good, or was it that Scarlett Johansson was in it and she looked super fine?
She did look super fine, but it wasn't... She's not my number one, unfortunately.
Who's your number one?
Judi Dench. But
yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah. And I thought that the trailers made it look really, really, really interesting. But I think from what I remember about the trailer, the trailer almost made it out to be more of an action film than it really is. when you looked at the trailer, and it's more of a it has a fair amount of action in, but I wouldn't say that's what is the crux of the film.
No, I agree. Yeah, the trailer. I watched the trailer the other day as well, and that clearly draws people in on the action side of things. With it's more the kind of the question of how is she doing this, and that's what sucks you into wanting to see the film.
Yeah,
that's what it did for me anyway. But I mean, I love Scarlett Johansson. She's just my number one. I think she's really, really nice. So, but yeah. So the film starts with her. She's allegedly a student in Taipei, Taiwan. Does she look like a student to you? She didn't to me.
No, she doesn't. But
she's meant to be 24.
Yeah. How old is Scarlett Johansson?
I don't know, to be honest.
You don't know. I'm pretty sure. I'm fairly confident she's not 24. I don't have a problem with her being a student, though. I mean, let's be honest, these days anyone can be a student, can't they?
Yeah, she doesn't come across as an idiot, does she?
No.
Well, she does to a certain extent, because she's with her boyfriend, Richard, outside the some kind of hotel, and he's talking about going to give some paperwork to a businessman. He's being really vague. He's clearly uncomfortable about doing it, and he says he's getting £1,000 and he'll split the 500 quid each, which is absolutely nothing. And Richard himself looks like a complete tit, doesn't he?
He does, and you've kind of got like the flashbacks of their day together or their previous week together,
and
and he is a bit of a dick. And interestingly, Scarlett Johansson doesn't come across initially as the brightest of people. At the beginning of the film, he's definitely punching above his weight, and she's kind of like a almost naive. Slash, you always get the sign that she's a bit of a party girl, likes to pop the pills potentially. She doesn't come across as really your typical heroine, and she doesn't really appear to have too much going for her when you see her with this guy as well. I mean, ultimately, I think when he kind of like screws her about with this random package she's got in the thing, you do feel kind of sorry for her, and you do think, you do feel he's a bit of a dick.
Because he handcuffs her without her knowing to the package, and she's got no choice but to take it in there. And she said, well, what's in it? It's papers for a businessman. And all you need to do is go to the desk, say my name, give it to him, and that's it. And she's clearly uncomfortable. But what I love about this scene is that when she obviously goes in there and she looks really out of place, it's a really smart hotel, she speaks to a receptionist, and Court says, I'm here to see, I'm here to see Mr. Yang or whatever she says.
And it's not going to be as simple as that as well. The movie like puts up your expectations for that.
It's done really well because he's told to wait there. She said, I'll go and sit over there. And she said, no, I'd advise you just to stand where you are. And then you see these, five businessmen come down. And as you see her standing there looking really nervous and then walking towards her, it then, as it does in a lot of this time in these films, it shows you cheetahs walking along, and then it flicks over to like a gazelle or a springbok who's the prey. And as they get closer, they show the prey and it get being caught. And it's just reflecting that the baddies are obviously clearly really bad and they're the cheetahs and she's the easy prey. And it shows you the cheetah catching the gazelle, and as soon as they've got their hands on her, and it's absolutely brilliant the way it's done that. So it just paints a picture without really saying anything, and they kidnap her and put her in the lift, and they're not saying anything whatsoever. So you don't really know yet what's in the package, and she's being carried up the lift, and then they show again the cheetah carrying a dead gazelle in its mouth up into a tree, and obviously she's going into the lift. So it's really, really good the way it's done. I love that side of the film, and it goes like throughout. Did you get that link?
It does. No. I mean, it was fairly explicit. It was fairly obvious about what it was doing, and I like that. I felt though you didn't. The idea was really, really good, and it really wasn't expanded on throughout the film. It wasn't. I mean, that was when you had that like weird comparison. That was the best that it got, I felt, in the film. And going forward, I thought there weren't as good as examples, and it wasn't done as much. Yeah. And because what I would have liked, in a way, is almost like an anagram of maybe throughout the film, she ended up becoming the cheetah rather than the gazelle, for example, you know?
Yeah, that's and it, a really trans- good idea,
yeah. And, but cause I thought that was like a really original idea. At first, I was like, what the hell's going on? I was like, has someone like edited a David Attenborough documentary along with it? But yeah, very quickly though, I realised what, and I thought that was really, really quite original. It's not something that I've seen before. What I thought was quite weird, in a way, was what ended up being quite good. But then again, when you look at Luc Besson, especially Leon, his early stuff, his stuff is quite arty, isn't it, as well, the films he makes?
Yeah, I mean, out of all the films he's done, Leon is probably my favourite film of everything he's done. I really like Leon. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. I mean, Gary Oldman's performance in that was just superb.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, as you say, it's quite arty. So she's taken up to the hotel room. And as she's going into the room, she sees Lee's legs on the floor covered in blood. And then she sat down, and then Chow Min Sik, Mr. Yang, comes out covered in claret with these kind of safety goggles on, which are also covered in blood. And she's trying to explain what's going on. But I just love the expression of, this is just wasting my time. I couldn't give a shit. And he clearly doesn't understand what she's saying, and then he gets a translator on the phone.
I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was really, really brilliant.
Yeah, and she wants the code for the suitcase. And it's really, really good, because again, you're sitting there thinking, well, what the fuck is in this suitcase? And when he's given a code to unlock it, and everyone kind of gets out of the room, apart from the henchmen who's standing behind like these massive plastic shields. So if there's an explosion, that they'll be all right. And she's left there, handcuffed to the suitcase, thinking, what the fuck is going on? What am I going to discover? It's really, really good tension. You feel so sorry for her. She's either going to die and not open the suitcase. And he's basically telling her by the door, smoking a fag, just hurry up and get on with it. He's got no kind of, he doesn't place any humans kind of above himself or even parallel with himself, does he? He's got no regard for life.
Yeah, he is an a-hole. Throughout the whole film, yeah, you're absolutely right. He just doesn't really care. He's very, very arrogant. He thinks he's above everyone else. He's like your typical almost gangster boss who almost a bit like the Raid, if you may. Doesn't care who he kills. Does he? He's number one. He's quite a nasty piece of work. The movie establishes that very quickly.
Yeah, so she opens a case and he asks what's in it, and there's those blue pills. Then, to everyone's relief, she comes back in, and they kind of open the one of the bags, and they get this complete smackhead to go and sit in front of her. And he's clearly a user by his teeth, and he's just a waster. And he inhales some of the blue kind of powder, and they're waiting for a reaction from him. And he just sits there laughing. And then all the henchmen start laughing, and then Mr. Yang just shoots him in the head.
As you do.
Or one of, yeah, and it's just, again, it just shows you what he's like, and still wondering, what are these pills? I mean, how come in the trailer she's got all these superpowers and this guy just looks off his nut completely? And again, it doesn't give a lot away of what's actually going to happen, but you kind of see what the CPH4 can do slightly, that it's obviously an addictive or hallucinogenic drug. And that's what it is, isn't it? It's meant to be marketed for the West and exported out.
And they explain it, that it's a synthetic drug based on, a period, something that women produce during their pregnancy, which I thought was a nice touch. I don't know whether that's the case in real life, but I thought that's quite good.
Apparently it is. I had a look, and it actually is that is the drug that pregnant women produce, which is obviously in smaller quantities, but
they've done their research.
That they use that.
Yeah.
So she's obviously fucked now, properly fucked. So what they say to her is basically, you're going to stay here. You're not going to go anywhere. She thinks that she can go now. And she's punched in the face.
Did she say, I forgot what she said. Did she say she wanted a job or she didn't want a job?
She didn't.
No, that's it. I thought, yeah, because when I watched it the first time, I was like, oh, she said she didn't. And then I thought, oh, yeah, she said she did. Yeah.
Yeah, they're basically offered the job. The alternative is to die now or take the job, and she I think she reluctantly agrees to taking it in the end, but the look on her face, I think, yeah, she doesn't want to take it. But I just wonder, because when she wakes up, she's got obviously stitches in her side and bandages around her. Mm. Did you, having not seen the film, when I first watched it, I thought that they were trafficking organs. What did you think?
No, I figured the minute they took the drugs out, then again, I had watched the trailer as well, which gives a, you could argue, maybe gives a bit too much away about the plot. I don't know, she was going to be trafficking the drugs. It was this new unique way of trafficking those drugs. When, like, she'll go past the airports and stuff, obviously you're not going to search inside someone's body like that, other than like the obvious cavities.
Because I didn't know whether they cut one of her lungs out, and if she didn't do what they were going to say, they were going to give her a lung back, or they were just trafficking lungs or organs. I really wasn't too sure, but
I mean, so I think if you hadn't watched the trailer, you could have come to that conclusion. Definitely.
Well, maybe it's only used 3% of my brain that I thought. I don't know. So she's forced into a room, and then you introduce to another character, which I like this character. He's fucking horrible, but he's funny. The Limey, who's basically a gangster equivalent of a travel agent. And she's joined in the room with, I think, four other men. I think there's four or five other people. And you soon work out that they're going to be trafficked to different places all around Europe, kind of like Rome, Paris, I think, is it Milan, something like that. But they're all going over Europe, and they've all got drugs inside them. And they're told that don't alert any of the police or the customs, because we know where your families live. And predominantly your families will be executed.
Including your second cousins. I like that.
Yeah. And the way that the Limey explains it, he's really polite. He's really nice. And he's a complete opposite of what everyone else is like, who's a baddie in the room. I mean, I thought he was quite funny.
Yeah, and it's disappointing we don't get more of him in the film.
Yeah, yeah, because he was just different, really. I didn't expect that. So they're told to go around Europe, and once they arrive at their destination at the airport, they're going to be met by other parts of this gang, where the drugs will be taken out and they'll be paid their money and they can get on their merry way. Do you think that would have happened, or do you think they've been executed?
Executed.
Yeah, I think they'd have had the drugs taken out of them, and they would have probably died during the operation. But
yeah, because they didn't have to be so careful on getting the drugs out of them once they got to their location, really, did they? When you think about it.
Yeah. So Lucy's taken captor. And I don't know why she's separated, because you don't see the others, whether they're kept locked up in a room or not, but she's locked up in this chair.
Was she the only girl as well? I think she was.
She was the only girl, yeah.
But that was almost, I think, yeah, her boyfriend who got shot, obviously, and is dead. I thought she basically replaced him. So ultimately, it probably was meant to be all guys. But because obviously he kind of like messed it up, potentially, that's why.
But do you think he knew that this was going to be the case, that they'd be used as a mule, and that's why he told her to do it? Because that wasn't explained, was it?
No, I don't think it. No, it, that didn't affect my enjoyment of the film. I don't think it needed to be explained for me anyway. I was quite happy, because how would he have known that anyway? I mean, you know, that's quite a plausible. I don't think it was really like a plot hole or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, why would to tell him? Because he's a nothing. When you see what an a-hole the the boss is, it's like, no way. He's not going to tell anyone, is he? He's going to screw you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just wondered. I mean, I like to know these things. I need it explained to me because I'm a divvy. But so while Lucy's being held captive, she's obviously still looking incredibly hot. And one of the captors tries it on with her, and she shuns him away. And due to this, she's kicked repeatedly in the stomach. And that's when the story really starts going, and it focuses on what's about to happen through the film. Mm. And the drugs leak out in her, and you kind of see it as if several fireworks go off inside her body, and her neutrons become kind of better, and just her whole capacity. She's switched on, her eyes turn bright blue, which is the color of the CPH4. And she was suddenly, from being a victim, she's very calm and she's very self-aware of the whole situation. And she's not panicking at all, is she?
Yeah, I did feel, in a way, for me, that happened a bit too quickly. I mean, I thought a gradual thing would have been nicer. Having said that, though, the film's only 89 minutes, so ultimately, other than making it, I thought it was a very good length. It didn't drag or anything like that. So maybe that would have made it drag a bit too much. So
yeah, and whilst this is happening, and it does go to Morgan Freeman, as I said earlier, who plays Dr. Sam Norman. And he's a kind of, I suppose he's a, I don't know if he's like, was a neurological surgeon, but he's a professor, and he's in front of like a large auditorium of lots of students and specialists in that field, and talking about the brain's capacity. And he goes from kind of apes to saying dolphins are the most advanced mammals, using the sonar radar, which they invented themselves. Obviously, this is just from what's in the film. I don't know whether that's true or not. Obviously, they do use sonar, but whether they adapted it, I don't know. But
I thought that was fascinating. I found that, I don't know how much of it yet to say that's true, but I thought that's really, really, really good. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed what you were saying. I don't know whether I enjoyed it as just because it's Morgan Freeman's voice and he could talk about anything, and he's just got such a great voice. It's just one of those voices that you love hearing. It's so silky smooth, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a really interesting tone he's got to his voice. And he's talking about the dolphins, and then above there, when it goes to 20%, that they'll have the power of telepathy and telekinesis. And then from then onwards, it's like pure conjecture of what the brain could do. It can control electric waves around them, which we see later on. And then it goes into the realms of just fiction, really, where you become an all-knowing being and not a person, because your body's, is, they say your body's like a waste, it's just a shell, and your mind is a lot more powerful and become everywhere, like a huge entity, which I tried to understand it, and I did look at a lot of forums of people trying to explain it, and it fucking well confused me, it really did. But that's the general premise of what they were going to say. I wish I would have listened at school now. It's only when I watched this film I realised.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the general premise was really, really interesting.
Yeah, I loved it because it's an untested source, obviously, that you can just go into pure science fiction and do what you want.
And it definitely and did. This film definitely did go full science fiction.
And if it's done well, it's really entertaining to watch. I think the way this film progresses is really, really good, because she's obviously assaulted and the drug leaks into her body, which gives her telekinesis. And when the captor comes in to try and get her again, he's going to rape her. That's what he's going to do. So he takes his belt off.
Well, she even I wouldn't say invites it, but basically she does the whole open my legs, come here. And you thought, okay, yeah. well, she's not going to let that happen, is she? And you kind of like, yeah. No. At that point, you got a feeling that he's in more danger than she is.
Yeah, and the look on her face.
Yes.
She knows exactly what she's doing. She's kind of quite emotionless in a situation where she'd potentially be raped.
Yeah, and yeah, she'd completely changed from about 7 or 8 minutes ago.
Yeah. But that's too quick for you, you say.
Well, I just thought it would have been a nicer build-up if it was gradually over time. For example, she was still scared, but then she kind of like, you know, like almost, it is a bit of a trope that superheroes almost, the first time they use a lot of their abilities is almost by accident, almost like a muscle memory or something.
Yeah, she's completely emotionless.
Yeah, and I would almost preferred it like that, and like you'd have like a gradual thing. But, you know, that's just like more of like a niggling point rather than, anything else.
Yeah, I mean, so she disarms and she kills the first captor. But I couldn't understand why she's climbing up the walls and walking on the walls. That that didn't really make any sense to me. I kind of bought into it.
Weird. I bought into it because I mean, going into it, I know it's a sci-fi film. But yeah, that was that kind of like, even in this current universe that they're giving you, it became really difficult to suspend my disbelief because I was like, okay, how the hell is she doing it? Initially, I thought, oh, she's on the floor. But then I realised, I very quickly realised, you know, that of the lights she was lying next to. Yeah, and it was, that was really a bit strange, weird. It was.
Yeah. So she escapes. She walks into the kitchen and she kills five more captors instantly. You get the impression that she's never fired a gun before to walk into a kitchen and, again, emotionless. She just kills five of them straight away and then sits down and eats their food. Then walks up to a taxi driver and says, which one of you speaks English? And one of them just ignores her, so she shoots him.
Yep.
And then the other one takes her where she wants. So she goes to the Tri-Service General Hospital. And you don't really, or I didn't really know why. It's not explained why she wants to go to a hospital. But she's walking around with a gun in her hand and no one's actually paying any attention to her, which is worrying, whether that's a normal thing in Taiwan.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't really hiding the fact that she had a gun, but it was a bit bizarre.
So there's a guy who's having surgery. She walks in there and she looks at the charts and I think he's got a brain tumour and that he's going to die. She can instantly, through her new powers, look at what's going on. And no, he's not going to live. And I think she shoots him and just throws him off the table. Is that right?
She doesn't. But how does she know that? I mean, how does she suddenly get this intelligence? Where did she get it from?
Well, it's a CPH-4. It's making her super intelligent, isn't it?
Okay, but how does she suddenly acquire that knowledge that she didn't before? That's what I found a tiny bit difficult.
Yeah, it's not explained why. And I would have liked her to be able to talk to herself while she's doing that, and to get a general understanding of how it's accelerated so fast that she could read a medical chart. But
it was the only thing I could think of is when Morgan Freeman was going about when we use like 20% of our brain stuff, we have an understanding and can control our body more. For, you know, like he asked her later on, can you control your metabolism and stuff? And I guess the only thing I can explain it away in my head, which the film maybe didn't make it obvious, was the fact that she's got so much knowledge of her own body at that point, simply by looking at an x-ray, etc. She can understand other people's body because she's got so much knowledge of hers and realise, and then, you know, put two and two together what's going on, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, to be honest, because I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I think you're right, because when she's on the table and she tells the doctor that she's got CPH-4 inside her, and he says, you need an anaesthetic. She says, I don't need it, because she can control her own pain threshold in her body.
Yeah.
And she makes a phone call to her mum while she's being operated on and talks to the doctor. So, yeah, that matches in with what you were saying. I think that she just is so self-aware, probably, of how the body works now and can make that diagnosis on their behalf. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Well done. Well done, James. Didn't even think about that. So you did watch the film. So she's told by the doctor that it's the CPH-4 is a substance that's produced by pregnant women in small quantities in their first 6 weeks of their pregnancy to provide the fetus with energy to develop.
Yes.
So that's, if she's had a large quantity of that, she's obviously developed her brain extremely fast, and that she's fortunate enough to actually survive to take that much. So she then goes back to her apartment where she lives, and you've got a flatmate there who, from general impressions of her, of what Lucy was like, her flatmate's quite a party girl who's...
It's like Lucy's... Idiot. Yeah, it was like... Yeah, but then again, that was... What I liked about that is... It showed her, even at that point, how far Lucy had come. That was like her old life.
Yeah.
Almost, you know? And yeah, it showed us, and it showed us how much she'd changed.
Yeah, and she's changed a hell of a lot, and she can program computers, and she does research while she's there for all of the books that Dr. Samuel Norman's written. And we've read about 30 seconds, she's read every single study and casebook that he's read. or he's wrote, sorry.
Yeah.
And at the time, we don't really know what she's doing. She looks like she's cracking into the Matrix or something like that, but it turns out that's what she's doing. So from there, she then actually calls Morgan Freeman, or I'm going to call him because I'll forget the name. And she does it on the telephone, first of all. Then she appears on the TV, and then she appears on his like alarm clock and the radio and talking all at the same time. And that's when she kind of explains, which I needed, that she can control like radio waves and understand the flows of electricity. Mm. So she can appear wherever she wants. And I thought that was really clever. Again, it's because it's pure science fiction and no one's ever going to know if you can do this. I like the imagination that Bisson's got to do this. I think it's really, really good, because when it's done well and that you can't prove that it's true or not and it cannot be done, or it can be done, if it's done well, you believe it. That's what I always find, and I found myself believing this.
You see, it does, but and this is one of my bigger gripes with the film. Maybe it is a sci-fi, and maybe I should have been more accepting of it. But I felt that throughout the film, it got almost to the point of I don't want to say ridiculous, but I personally found it harder and harder to believe as the film went on, and I really blame, and I will get into it. And for me, it was literally the last 9 or 10 minutes that I thought, okay. And we were getting into, as you mentioned it before, we're getting into the realms of the Matrix almost. At that point. But that's obviously like towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, Lucy then goes back to the hotel, Mr. Yang's hotel, and kills all of his bodyguards. And Yang's there getting a tattoo done by somebody who looks like Amy Winehouse. And I don't understand why. I mean, what she does is she reads his mind and uses her abilities to be able to. And I still can't quite work out how she does it. But it kind of plays back to where each individual who's a drug mule is then given a plane ticket. And it plays back as if she's in the room looking at the tickets from different angles to see the different airports that she goes to. And it's as if she's seeing it from someone else's eyes. And I don't quite understand that point of view. It doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
To me, it didn't.
No, that did make sense. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. If they'd done it from her point of view, at which point, like you and I, like, you almost, like, can rewind of what you saw and zoom in and to stuff and things, almost, you know? So you have, like, almost this, you're taking the idea of a photographic memory to the next level. I think that would have been a lot more accepting. And you'd have gone, oh, okay, that makes sense. She can basically completely remember everything she actually saw. Which I thought was interesting.
If it was from Yang's point of view of when he bought the tickets or when he had the tickets on his desk, that would make more sense. But
absolutely,
to see it from the eyes of certain people, you just don't know. But I don't know why she doesn't kill him after that. That's, she killed all his henchmen, but why didn't she kill Yang? She just stabbed him through both hands with knives and leaves him there. That didn't make any sense whatsoever. There was no reason for her not to kill him.
The only reason for her was the convenient for the plot, almost, in the asterisk. And that's where I felt the limey, the English guy, should have come in more and should have maybe been like the big bad guy, really, in the end. Reveal, ha ha ha, I'm the mastermind. He kind of like, because he came across as almost your James Bond type villain, didn't he? Rather than obviously the stereotypical gangster.
Yeah, so from there, she decides to contact Pierre Del Rio, who's a detective over in Paris, and she warns him that there's drugs coming over to Paris and these other airports, and that to make police aware, and he thinks it's a hoax call. And again, all I can think that she says, well, how do you know, or how do I know this is true? And she talks about the red pen on his desk.
Mm.
And there is a red pen, and he's quite freaked out, as in, how does someone know this?
I've no idea how she know that. I've no idea how she know that. But
she can see it through his. She's advanced that much that she can see what he sees.
Maybe. I mean, that. Yeah, I tell you what. If it explained it that way, that'd have been really brilliant, I think. Because I thought that was a lovely, that was a really, really good touch. And I think a lot of this film, I think, would have improved more if it would have been able to explain how she can do that or why she can do that.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't have to, maybe a bit
that's
better.
That's what I needed. Yeah, because I don't know whether she sees it through his TV monitor or, but it would have been nice if she would have said, well, how do you know, or he would have said, how do you know that? That she would have turned around and said, well, I can do this. And then you thought, oh, fuck me, that's really, really clever. But the fact it's not explained. You have to accept it, but there's no explaining it. And that kind of puzzles me. It annoys me. I like an explanation. If they're going to do something which is way out, it needs an explanation for me anyway. But she rides on she takes a plane journey over to Paris. And while she's on the plane, or before she gets on there, she changes from blonde to dark haired. And her whole appearance. And she can do that through, I understand that she can change her body. She's got power over her mind has, and she can change her appearance. And so she does that, which is fine. Again, I love the idea that you can change how you look. You're that powerful enough that you can change the whole genetics and DNA makeup of what you look like. That was absolutely fine. While she's on the plane, a stewardess asks her if she wants a glass of champagne. And her whole body fucks up and freaks out, and her whole genetics, she turns into like Quasimodo's ugly sister.
I thought that was really weird, and it wasn't explained well in terms of like, oh, she has to have this drug, otherwise she ends up like this.
It was her body rejecting the champagne. That's what I presume.
Oh, that's all right then.
Having looked on the internet, that her body was so powerful that it doesn't need substance to keep going. It just needs more of that CPH4.
When it's given the champagne,
it rejects it. That's just from internet research that I've looked on different forums. Because again, it wasn't explained.
No.
Why she turns into kind of particles, doesn't she? In front of everyone. And then her face, she goes into the toilets, her face starts drooping and sinking. And as soon as she takes more CPH4, she's herself again. But again, without an explanation, and should you really have to go to the internet to look for an explanation of
no
film when you're watching it? You shouldn't really.
No.
She's actually at the airport, and then it goes through where all of the drug mules are arrested at various airports, and they're all taken into kind of like police protection, and they're all, for some reason, they're all put together, which seems a bit fucking bizarre to me. and this is under the eyes of like the Yakuza or the gang, whoever it is, who realize that somehow they've all been fucked over, and that they're not going to get any of their drugs. So from then onwards, she wants to go to the hospital. She wants all of the CPH4, and she needs the CPH4 to keep surviving, doesn't she?
Yes. Yeah. You felt, yeah. She does. And then, and ultimately, she ends up going to Paris, doesn't she? Obviously, that's where she's going. Because she said to Morgan Freeman's character, I'll see you in 12 hours.
Yeah. And it's really weird because a lot happens whilst they're at the hospital. A lot happens that isn't explained. As probably every 20 minutes or every quarter of an hour in this film, you see a percentage just come up on the
which I thought was quite good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice touch, and it shows the audience of the percentage of her brain, and when it reaches like 50%, that you know she's going to be so much more advanced.
Mm.
You just don't know what's going to happen. And while she's at the airport, like the gang come in, the bad guys, and they kill the policemen who are so ineffective, it's unbelievable. And they remove all the CPH4 from the drug mules, and they're going to escape. And
yes.
They're joined then by Lucy in the corridor, and it starts to get really fucking weird, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? I love the bit when she goes to the police station and she said to the police officer, I just want to talk to you. And then everyone else faints, which kind of like intimates how powerful she is.
Yeah, she's super, super powerful now. The baddies approach her in a corridor, and you've got the detective behind who's still completely oblivious to what's going on.
Mm.
And he stays with her because she's really fit And what man wouldn't stay with her? I mean, you'd be thinking with love up your body rather than your brain, wouldn't you?
Yeah. You probably would. I mean, she even mentions at some point, why do you need me? And she went, to like remember, as in the fact that she was once, and I guess that was like, she was once human.
Yeah.
Where she's kind of like, maybe not so human anymore above that, if that makes any weird sense.
Yeah, that's why I think that she wants to be with a good person who is trying to do the right thing, where she's emotionless and is just so focused on the CPH4 now. But she's approached by all the baddies and they shoot her, and you really do get a Matrix callback where the bullets are frozen in the air, and all of the baddies are lifted in the air. They're not killed, they're just held suspended in the air in the corridor in front of the detective, who really has got a what the fuck look on his face. And I really like this because it's just so fucking out. It's so out of the blue, isn't it? It's not explained. You're not prepared that she's going to do this.
No.
She just does it. And each time she does something like this, you never get that look of surprise on her face.
No. It's like she knows. Well, we know she's got full control of her on her body, and she's become really, really emotionless, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's got complete powers of telepathy and telekinesis now, and she just can do whatever she wants. And I think, for me, I would have quite liked a look of surprise when she does some of the things.
Especially early on.
Yeah, when she's learning her powers. I quite like that, when you get like the Spider-Man and...
But that goes to my point.
And everything like that.
That I think I made earlier, where I think maybe initially, and it is just a niggly point, a gradual learning the powers, being really surprised early on in the film would have probably helped.
Yeah, it would have been, I could have explained it within 10 minutes of what she could have, the powers that she can achieve.
Absolutely, exactly.
Yeah, and that would have been great. But as she does that, and she gets the CPH4, and after she's done that, they then leave the hospital, and she's being watched by Mr. Yang, who's outside with the rest of the goons, and she jumps in a car, and she says that she'll drive, and she's never driven before. But she drives almost by using the force, doesn't she?
Yeah, basically, she can drive perfectly. And that I accepted, funny enough, a lot more than the other stuff straight away.
Yeah, she's got full control over traffic lights. She just controls bridges. She controls everything. And it's a really, really good car chase. I thought it was great. What did you think?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really good. I didn't have a problem with that at all. And I kind of accepted the fact that she's so good.
Emotionless while she's doing that.
Yeah, she can like almost calculate all the gaps and stuff, and kind of like almost predict potentially what the other people are going to do. And I was absolutely fine with that.
Yeah, and while she's doing that, you then see Professor Norman with his colleagues in Paris, and a lot of this is obviously shot in Paris just because of Luc Besson, who wanted to do a science fiction which was filmed in Paris.
Yeah.
He's along with his colleagues setting up lots of kind of apparatus and everything like that for Lucy's arrival. And he, even a man of his caliber, and he's obviously a very intelligent person, that he doesn't quite know what to expect when Lucy arrives. He's seen her on a screen and he's spoken to her, but he only admits, even when he was doing his talk to all the other people, that it's pure conjecture with regards to what the brain can do and what abilities other people will have. So he just clearly doesn't know what's going to happen when she arrives.
No, and she obviously, and then I like it when she does, where are you? Oh, I'm right here. And then she walks to the door, which I thought was quite nice.
Yeah.
Touch.
And she's followed by all of the, like the gang who arrive about 5 minutes beforehand. But it's probably when she arrives to meet Morgan Freeman is when the film really gets fucking crazy. It really goes into the mind of Luc Besson of what he believes a kind of superior being is. And because they start off with Lucy was the name of the first ape, the first kind of mammal on the planet.
That's
where it comes from. And you do get, at the start of the film, an ape drinking in like the jungle. And that is Lucy, apparently. So it's really, really weird that she turns up in a professor's lab, and she tells the scientists, and I really had to listen and watch this a few times of what the point was that she was trying to make. And she tells scientists that the time is only a true measure of human life and existence. And she tries to explain that through a diagram, which I needed, of a car traveling down the road. And it's purely that everything humans do, they measure it by time.
Yes.
And when you're such a superior being, there is no such thing as time because you're everywhere and you can control time and matter. So you don't have to wait and there isn't any time.
It is,
You are kind of time, aren't you, in a way?
Yeah, you definitely need to watch it twice to get that bit. It is really, really bizarre.
And it is really, really confusing. And it's just reminded me of in The Matrix when they meet the gatekeeper at the end.
Oh, God, that was...
I've watched that so many times and I fucking do not understand a single thing they talk about.
No. But The Matrix, The Matrix trilogy is another story entirely. First one's awesome. The sequels are very average, I thought. But there we go.
Yeah. So her body starts to change into like a black substance.
The film kind of lost me there. I was like, what the hell is going on? I didn't quite get it.
Really, really bizarre. And it starts like from her arms. It's kind of like tree trunks going out. And it starts spreading over the computers and other objects in the lab. And she transforms into like an unconventional shaped like computer, doesn't she? A weird, large computer that contains all of her knowledge that she's learned from when she's gone up to... Because at the moment, she's on 99%. And she loses the human form. And she's got all the enhanced knowledge of the universe from when it began. And you see her when she's sitting in this chair that she now has the ability to physically travel through time to go back from when the war for the dinosaurs to when life began.
Yeah.
And she can travel through time. She's that powerful now. And it's not that she's seeing what's happened back then. She actually is a physical presence back then, which is really weird.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's fucking strange. So she eventually reaches the oldest discovered ancestor, which is Lucy.
Yeah, which I thought was a nice point, because the film, I didn't quite, you know, almost, well, it didn't begin there, so to speak, but it was near the beginning, wasn't it? That was at the beginning, that scene with the ape.
Yeah, it goes back to the beginning of the film, doesn't it? She touches fingers with her and then goes back further and witnesses the Big Bang from when Earth began. And while she's sitting in this chair, you've got the gangs there with anti-tank weapons, machine guns, shooting the police in the corridor just outside the building. And all hell's fucking breaking loose and there's loads of people dying. And they're just trying to do it just to protect her. And really, Morgan Freeman and the other scientists are standing there helpless, aren't they? They just don't know what's going on. They're not prepared for this whatsoever.
No.
It's a fucking really, really weird ending. And she reaches 100% of her cerebral capacity.
And then disappears.
Yeah. And she disappears within the space-time continuum. And she just vanishes, where she explains that she's connected and to everything and existence. And there is no time whatsoever. And she's just left there with a pair of lovely shoes, and then Yang walks in and Del Rio enters and shoots him and kills him.
Yeah.
And he asks, Professor Norman takes a USB flash drive from her that she turns into, which contains all the knowledge of the universe, which I quite like that. I thought that was really good, to be honest.
What the hell is going on? How does she make the USB? How she can make plastic? How can she make actual items from skin? It's impossible. That's what I was going on in my head.
It was really, I have to admit, it was an ending of a film which does not really make, it only makes sense of what's happening at the very last second when she becomes a USB stick.
Yeah, that made sense. That did make sense. It made sense in that she's become a USB stick. The leading up to the how and why, I was really, really scratching my head.
Thinking about it, even when I listen to you say, yeah, it makes sense when she becomes a USB stick. Yeah. That's fucking ridiculous in itself.
It is. And for me, the ending was, I think, the one of the worst parts of the film. Because I was just like, what? Really, really bizarre. But then again, you know, it was kind of like leading up to that. Should I be surprised? Yeah. I don't know. But
because she disappears, and then Del Rio asks the professor, like, where is she? And he gets a text message saying, I am everywhere. And that is it. And it says, life was given to us billions of years ago. Now you know what to do with it. And then the film ends. But I think the fact that we've just had a conversation that she becomes a USB stick is fucking ridiculous.
It is. Now we've got to the end. I thought it was a really, really interesting concept, a really exciting concept. Had it been maybe done differently, the concept, I think, would have potentially, for me, been much more interesting. And you could have gone to completely different places with this film. Instead of going moderate sci-fi, it definitely went full sci-fi, let's say.
Yeah. Well, I looked on, again, of the explanation of the end of it. And it says, at this point, again, I'm just reading what I found. At this point, her brain can restructure all the cells in her body to transform into some computer. Then it says, after all, the computer has been designed based on human brain. Lucy is hard at work collating at all her understanding into readable medium, a medium that can be plugged into a USB port, which is the only interface that can be used by humans. And that's why she changes into that I suppose if she was somewhere else, that she'd transform into something else. But it's a really weird ending, and the whole film keeps me entertained. It's quite a fast-paced film, and when she has her special powers and the fact that it kind of ticks up, it's a race against time throughout. And the end of the film, it's so fucking strange that it leaves you looking at your partner or your friend, whoever you watched it with, saying, yeah, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. I mean, the second time I watched it with my mum. And she didn't dislike it, but she was like, well, that's a bit strange. You know, neither of us regretted watching it. I didn't regret watching it again. But yeah, it was really, really weird.
Yeah. It's like going on a brilliant roller coaster ride. And all the way through, you're thinking, this is fucking amazing. And then the very last loop or very last thing that it's meant to do is a bit of a letdown. And you kind of think, well, that was good. But yeah, the ending just ruined a lot of the ride for me. And I kind of, watching it again and again, I felt the same about this. Because it was just such a shame, because I really do like this film. And I just think there's not enough explanation into what happens at the end, unless you're like a neurologist or that you've studied this and you agree with what Besson says and you're in his mind, because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
I don't want to have to do internet research into understanding several parts of this film and what the ending's about.
No, I think sometimes you shouldn't really have to. I mean, then again, you get endings like, not that you know, that are quite open ended in films that you look for. This really wasn't an open ended ending. Full weird.
You know, they end in a number two of this.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, I've seen that on Scarlett Johansson's IMDb, like the list. It's a bit like, for example, you know, where the Matrix ended and Neo was really, really powerful, and you were like, well, where is this going to go? I mean, the Matrix was, if there wasn't a Matrix sequel, I think we'd have wanted one. But in hindsight, we really didn't need one. You know what I mean? And I feel the same about this film.
Yeah, it doesn't need a sequel. You know where it's going to go. And it's been explained that telekinesis, the telepathy, what the person's going to turn into. But a sequel, it will just crash and burn. It will not be any good. And it's certainly something that, if it was a cinematic release, that I wouldn't rush to watch.
No.
I don't know where this can go, but I think Besson's had so many fucking failures since making this film that they really do need the money. And I think he's trying to wire into something that was a success, hoping it will be again, just to generate money, because this did make millions and millions, this film. It was very profitable for the low budget.
Yeah, yeah. It did. And I think it was really good. I think the idea, the premise of the film was better than the film itself, I felt, ultimately.
Okay, so let's get on to your best bits, worst bits of this film.
Best bit was the idea, the premise, I think. I thought it was really, really interesting. And the worst bit was, probably from about three quarters of the way, it just got a bit too weird. And the implementation of this idea and the premise, kind of like I felt really, really let down by it. Particularly the ending was strange. I mean, out of five, I'd give it a 3. I really enjoyed it. I don't regret watching it. Would I watch it again in a couple of years? I probably wouldn't have a problem watching it again on my own accord. Scarlett Johansson was really good, from like the ditzy little, you know, typical blonde to the like emotionless person at the end. But I think because she was so emotionless, I think it was quite important. For example, we had her sort of relationship with the cop, which wasn't really done that much. But then we kind of like maybe needed to spend more time with them together, so we saw her abilities through his eyes. Like, he was like, he should have been like us, amazed at her abilities, because at that point it was really, really hard to relate to her, where we did at the beginning. So 3 out of 5 for me. It's you.
Yeah, I think that I really enjoyed this film, and I will watch it again probably in a couple of weeks' time, because I just really like it. But the worst bit is the end of it. Once the car chase is over, once she meets Morgan Freeman, and she's up to kind of 99%, that bit just doesn't make any sense to me. And it is enjoyable, but I like to know what's going on to get a full understanding of what's happening. I clearly didn't get that. Scarlett Johansson's performance is really, really good. I think she's absolutely brilliant for this, and I can't imagine anyone else doing it, not as well as her anyway. But the best bits, I just think I love the concept of it. Like yourself, I think it's absolutely fascinating, that because it's just unknown. I like the way it's done. It needed more explanation into what she was doing, like I said earlier, with regards to trying out what she was doing, and freaking herself out about the telepathy, telekinesis. That would have been really nice, that she would have done it either by mistake or trying to do it. And
yeah,
it would have opened up so many more avenues and a lot more enjoyment of when she's doing it later on in the film, because you could fully understand it, and you could kind of grow with the character as well. That's what I would have liked. But yeah, I'd give it probably a 3.5 out of 5. And yeah, I'll definitely watch it again. I will watch it again for a fact. So I really like this film. I think it's just great, and Scarlett Johansson's fantastic. She's got one of those voices, again, if you watch her with Joaquin Phoenix, that's, it's just her voice in it. She's not in it physically, but that's brilliant as well. So, yeah, anything with Scarlett Johansson's in, I'll definitely watch. She's the draw for me, definitely.
The draw. Okay.
She is. So, but next week is the big one.
Well, yeah, next one. We're Simon doing Batman v Superman.
Yeah, I haven't seen this film since it came out, so I'm really, really excited to watch it.
Yeah, what Simon suggested, and I said we'll do it, is make sure we watch the director's cut, because he said the normal cut is not really good. And the director's cut, he said, he felt makes it a much better film. And I have not watched the director's cut, but I slated and completely disliked the normal version.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be really interesting to hear everyone's points of views. As I say, I've only watched it once. And I wasn't really impressed, but it may change over a second viewing if the director's cut is that good.
He said he was reading articles and stuff about how the director or whatever wasn't really allowed to show all the, you know, the whole film or his whole vision, and it really changes the film, he said.
I'm definitely up for that. It'd be great.
It will.
Next week with Simon as our special guest on the show. So that'll be absolutely great. Looking forward to it. Well, and after that, we can choose a film of your choice that possibly I haven't seen before, and then I can slate it.
I've already chosen. I don't think we've done it. But there's a reason for it, because I imagine it's halfway through October. I'm not going to be tropey and choose a horror film. I am going to do a film though, based around a kind of like holiday in England.
Yeah.
November the 5th.
Yeah.
Do you know what film I'm choosing?
If I said it's to not you, Me for Vendetta, is it?
Yes.
Oh God.
Don't you like that film?
No, I fucking hate that film.
Well, maybe I'll choose another one.
No, no, no. We'll watch it. We'll do it. It's good when you get two different points of view. So,
maybe I'll think of another one. But no, we'll see.
No, Speak for Vendetta. You've heard it here, folks.
Okay, I've really wanted to do that. Since we've done the podcast, I've always thought, missed opportunity. We could have done that around that time.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. Natalie Portman. Yeah, she's very good. So, and you've got the other geezer in. It was James Bond. What was his name?
James Bond. You know, you've got the guy that from The Matrix in it.
Oh, is Timothy Dalton not in it?
No, I don't think he is.
I think there's anything else in, I don't know.
You've got the guy from Aliens in it. Alien, sorry. The who dies with the alien.
Oh, right.
Famous actor. Maybe I'll think of something else. It's got quite a few good people in.
I'm well up for that. It's going to be good fun.
Comic book story.
Yeah. Quite political as well. Quite left-wing.
Yes, it is left wing with a very right wing way of doing things, I guess you could say. But okay. But anyway, the important thing, Batman v Superman is next.
Definitely, definitely. Well, it's been great again. And I hope everyone's enjoyed listening to it. Again, back episodes on iTunes and Android. You can listen to over 100 podcasts of us rambling and taking the piss out of each other. I still recommend The Wrestler, which is about probably episode 30, 35, something like that.
Yeah, I know. There's so many good films, isn't it, we've done?
There is indeed.
First three Star Wars films we've done.
You've got The Dark Knight, you've got The Iron Man. There's loads of films, and there's still so many more that we're going to do. So it's all good stuff.
Yeah. See you later, guys.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening. Take care.